No. All right. We are in Councils for the Church, page 68, paragraph 2. Thank you again, Brother Joe. And we are, it's titled, we're starting a new area, I guess. It's called Workers to Train Church Members. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And, yeah, and thanks, Brother James. If anybody here needs to, like if you're new and you want to read along, just click that link that James put in the room, copy and paste it into your browser or whatever. Or click where it says Sabbath Eve above the chat room and you'll be right where we're at. All right, it says, it is evident that all sermons, or all the sermons that have been preached, have not developed a large class of self-denying workers. This subject is to be considered as involving the most serious results. Our future for eternity is at stake. The churches are withering. Are withering up, rather, because they have failed to use their talents in diffusing light. And diffusing, a lot of people think, well, that seems negative. No. To diffuse it is to spread it. Like, for example, back when Edison invented the light bulb, the very first light bulbs were the clear glass. And you can still get those today, you know, with the clear glass. And this is, of course, the incandescent bulb. I'm not talking about LEDs and stuff like that. And LEDs, you definitely have to diffuse. And what they learned was they would just paint the, well, they wouldn't paint it, but they would blast a bunch of powder on the inside of the bulb to give it a white frost so that when it would light up, it would, the light would spread further because you diffused it. And that's what we as Christians do. We are the light of the world. We're diffusing the light in us, which is Christ the Lord, you know, by way of the comforter that he sent us. So. And then so she says the churches, okay, and this says careful instruction should be given, which will be as lessons from the master, that all may put their light to practical use. Those who have the oversight of the churches should select members of ability and place them under responsibilities, at the same time giving them instruction as to how they may best serve and bless others. And as you see, this is kind of like the Lord kind of took the reins on this one in our little church family because we, you know, we're growing up as we learn at the same time. We've only been in church a few decades or a couple decades. And so he's teaching us as we go along. And we've noticed how he pushes some people to go and do things without us having to approach them. And it just seems to happen that way and it works out great. But at the same time, we also know certain people in the church family are called to do certain things, and so they do. But she goes on to say that mechanics, lawyers, merchants, men of all trades and professions educate themselves that they may become masters of their business. Should the followers of Christ be less intelligent, and while professedly engaged in his service, be ignorant of the ways and means to be employed? And see, this is one of the things that always irked me about people that went full-time ministry over the years that I've seen. You know, because I've run across... Now, there is one guy that I do... Well, two, actually. Pastor Russ and then Rizzo. These guys, they weren't slackers. I mean, you talk about hard workers. They were constantly on the go. Constantly. And, you know, working for the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I've also known, even in our numbers, some people that were, years ago anyway, that were supposedly ordained to do certain things, just sat back and grew hair. I mean, that's, they, you know, once in a while they might hit a pulpit. And then it was like pulling teeth to actually get them to do it. One of them was full-time. Well, actually two, that's right. Yeah, two of them were full-time. And you'd never know it, though. And so the nice thing is, though, that when the people of God, even if they're not full-time, go forward and start doing things, they do get blessed, and they, you know, the Lord gives them even more duties. But that's one thing that always bothered me when I started seeing people that went full-time into ministry. I says, man, it certainly looks like you just retired. You know, I was like, what, do you work one day a week? If that, you know, like I knew these Baptist preachers, because when I left the Catholic Church, you know, happened to do a lot of church hopping, and I knew Baptists, and that's where I preferred to go because they always had the Bibles. And I thought, yeah, because I came, this one guy that actually put an engine, well, repaired an engine for me. And the gist or the bulk of his week was writing the sermon for Sabbath. Well, Sunday. We called it Sabbath. I was a Sunday keeper like most Sabbath keepers. You know, me and Fran, we didn't know any better, but we knew to keep the Sunday the way it should be kept. Well, as so we thought. And but yeah, this guy, that's all, you know, with the occasional, you know, working on someone's, I guess he was a mechanic before he was a preacher. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem right. I mean, if you're going to work 9 to 5 for the almighty dollar, and you're going to do all you can, like some people go out and get the master's degree and all this other stuff and make sure that they get what they get, and so that they can get, supposedly get a job. But in today's economy, you can have a whole mess of master's and degrees and they ain't going to help you much. But they do that. And they, like she's saying here, because back in her day, yeah, you do that back in her day, you were guaranteed work. But today, not so much. But when some guys go full-time in the ministry, they just sit back and wait for the money to roll in. And well, guess what? That ain't going to happen. And see, that's one of the reasons I think I dragged my feet when I went into the ministry full-time. You know, even though the Lord was asking me about a year before the Twin Towers fell, I knew I was never going to ask for donations. Because that's just the way I'm wired, I guess. Well, the way He created me. And I knew it wasn't right. I don't see any problem with preaching and telling people they're supposed to tithe, because if you don't, well, then you got to deal with the spanking, not me. I couldn't get my mind off of those other guys that I knew that were full-time, because they weren't all like Pastor Russ or that Rizzo guy. They were always just sitting around. And I says, man, you know, that's a pretty posh life, you know, or plush or whatever, or soft living. It didn't seem right. I says, if you're going to work for the Lord, I think you would do more. And that's another reason that, you know, I thought, okay, I can do a lot of work. I have no problem with that. But how am I going to take care of my wife and kids? I didn't have any faith. And then he finally says, well, don't worry about that. Yeah, but it's a faith walk, and it's been like that for years now. And praise his name that he does answer prayers. She says, she goes on to say that the enterprise of gaining everlasting life is above every earthly consideration. In order to lead souls to Jesus, there must be a knowledge of human nature and a study of the human mind. Much careful thought and fervent prayer are required to know how to approach men and women upon the great subject of truth. And I got to tell you, this here, to me, I think of the neighbor down the road from here. She loves to share her faith. She's invited me to her church a couple, 3 times. She's the farmer's wife, obviously. She's a very talkative woman, and she'll come down the road, and if you're out there mowing a lawn, you're going to have to stop. And she'll talk your ear off, and, you know, and then it'll, you know, eventually her faith will come around. And I've tried numerous times, like with her son. He was the guy we were renting that house from for a year when we tried to do the School of the Prophets thing. And we'd be on the phone an hour or two at a time. And he had all these Bible questions. And boy, he just had a real hard time with what the mark of the beast really was, you know. But then he believed in the secret rapture and all this other stuff. And then I think of some of my loved ones. And it's not just my siblings either. I mean, you know, there's some people that I keep thinking about what Sister White said. I think it's in the Great Controversy, where maybe some of you can refresh my memory as to where it's at, where she mentions some people that, as the world's ending, you know, I think she touches on it in regards to that one statement where summer is ended and we are not saved. You know, the harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. And eventually the word gets out somehow, some way, that we knew what the mark of the beast was, and we never told them. And I think about that, but I know I've told just about every loved one I know, and I know just about every loved one has rejected it. And so they can't come up to me and say, well, but you never told me. It's just like with some of my loved ones that get my daily emails, and I do this for a double check for my spell checker. I have sent out to date right now 1,369, I happen to be looking at it right now, 1,369 emails to people that are more or less a duplicate of the blog every day. I just sent it out. I started doing that 1,369 days ago, but you got to add a Sabbath for every week because I don't do it on Sabbath. And now I don't do it on Saturday or Sunday. I want some time off. But they can't say that I haven't tried. Some of them block my emails now because, I just don't want to read all that every day. I said, well, you don't have to read. Why block my emails? Just delete the email if you don't want to read it. And so much careful thought and fervent prayer has been in my mind, in my wife's mind, I know, because she goes through the same thing. We've got people that we want to share this with, and we want to know how best to approach these men and women upon the great subject of truth, like Sister White is saying here. And some people, they're not easy to approach. And this is where the track thing came in. This is why I believe the Lord had me start the track thing, because when I first came into the truth, I was trying to share, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm noticing something here. Okay, I can talk pretty fast. I mean, come on, I was from the south side of Chicago. And so you had to talk fast to get a word in edgewise because everybody up there talks too fast. But I noticed the drifting, because everybody can notice that, especially if you are a talker and you watch body language. My dad taught me early on how to read it. And you can tell just, and of course, when I started doing sales, some of these guys that really know what they're doing will teach you how to read the signs. And then, of course, I played poker, so. But the Lord just had me being educated in all these strange ways to be able to tell when, okay, they're drifting. They're not listening to what you're saying, right? And so that started getting on my nerves. I'm sitting there telling them the absolute truth as it is written in the Word of God, and they're blowing me off. And I know what they're doing. I see their eyes wandering off, and they're thinking of what to say the next time I breathe because they're waiting for me to shut up. So I started writing tracks. I figure, okay, maybe I'll get a captive audience there. I'll give them the track. They don't have a word in edgewise. They have to read it from cover to cover. So I thought. But that's why, today I got another letter that I just sent out to some prison out in California. That's a captive audience, literally, because they ask for literature. I guess someone in that jail, I think it's Dennis Vanderhyde. We've been praying for him for a while. He is spreading his faith in the prison. And now people from that prison are asking me for literature, and I'm sending it. And I'm thinking, well, I know this guy's going to read it cover to cover because you're bored as a gourd, literally, in a prison. You got nothing to do but stare at, you know, a 6x9 all day. And so, but still, pray for me as I pray for you. We need to have an understanding on how to bring the subject of truth, and we have to figure out a way to get past that. Well, I don't want to act like that when, you know, my neighbor. It was tough. Think about when it goes down and the eastern sky splits and they look at you, let's say, like, let's just picture it like a parable, because it's not actually going to work this way, but they're going to eventually know that you knew the truth, especially when they see you on the wall on the inside. And they're out there weeping and gnashing their teeth, and they're thinking, why didn't you ever tell them? If you knew it, they might have listened. And so I'm trying my best to figure out how to approach, you know, the people down the block, both sides of us. I've done it in town, like the Radio Shack guy, he's since retired, and the lady at the post office. But boy, they were both Catholic, or are both Catholic, and they didn't take it well. But that approach was to say, okay, look, I wrote a track about the Antichrist, and it kind of touches on your Pope. And I was just wondering if you could please do me a favor and read this track and let me know if I'm being too insulting and stuff like that. I want to be as gentle as I can. And that was my little foot in the door to try to get them to read it. And they read it. And they both got extremely upset with me. But then they still acted very nice the next time I saw them. And they both said, they both let me know they didn't like what they read. I says, well, at least I got some seeds in, didn't I? But we got to do this, brothers and sisters. This is extremely important. This is why she says much careful thought and fervent prayer is going to be required on this one, because I really, imagine yourself. Imagine if your neighbor knows the truth like we know it now, and you don't. And then all of a sudden the eastern sky splits and you're headed to hell in a handbasket and your neighbor's not going because your neighbor is saved. And then you look at your neighbor and you think, well, why didn't you tell me? And you can't judge a book by its cover. I've seen the burliest, biggest biker go to tears. And I've seen the smallest, gentle, little old lady go gonzo. I mean, go very angry. You know, so you really can't judge the covers. So she goes on to say that just as soon as the church is organized, set the members at work. And praise God, so far everything's working out well there. And I want to praise God, too, that some of you, and you know who you are. I don't need to mention who is doing the work here. I mean, especially on Sabbath day and then, you know, the men's study and the women's study and all that stuff. Praise the name of our Lord and Savior, because, you know, I can't do it all. Frank can't do it all. So just as soon as the church is organized, let the minister set the members at work. They will need to be taught how to labor successfully. Let the minister devote more of his time to educating than to preaching. Amen. This is one of the reasons the Lord's pushing me to the Q&A. We're doing another Q&A tomorrow. And the Q&A is not just, well, tomorrow is kind of, we got a lot of new people asking questions about the law and how it they feel it contradicts itself in Colossians chapter 2 in regards to the ordinances and the actual law and stone. And so I had a couple of emails I got over a year ago. Some of these are really old, but they were so long I never used them because they're so long. The answers. Well, I think maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. The whole thing is going to be 25, 30 minutes tomorrow. That's it. And I need to put it on the Q&A Sabbath page so people can, even though it's already on the Law of God page, this one section. Plus, we got new people coming in here that need to hear it as well. At the same time, it offers all of us. And it's not just me, because I've read millions of, well, I wouldn't say millions, but I probably read thousands of tracts in my life. And you pick up a way of saying something from this preacher. You pick up a way of saying something, like some of the stuff that you guys have said, like some of the stuff that, and I'm not just talking about Chase and Andre and Craig and Ryan and anybody else that's hit the pulpit in the past. You know, some of you guys that have said things that, like, I've used in sermons. And because it just comes out of you naturally, like the Holy Spirit moves. And so we're all educating each other. And that's kind of like what tomorrow's going to be about. And, you know, like she said in another book, I don't know where it's at, about you're not supposed to always sermonize on Sabbath. So she goes on, let him teach the people how to give to others the knowledge they have received. In other words, fashion. That's why I like the tracks. You know, and I learned this from the KISS thing, Keep It Simple, Stupid. For my sales days, in other words, get to the point, don't beat around the bush, and show them exactly what it says in the Word. Because what's the other toss on that coin? Roman Catholicism. Because Roman Catholicism, they're going to take the Bible verse so far out of context, it's going to take them volumes, literal volumes, leather-bound volumes, to explain a Bible verse where Christ, he'll just give you another verse. And it works that well, you know, line upon line thing. So let him teach the people how to give to others the knowledge that they have received, while the new converts should be taught to ask counsel from those more experienced in the work. They should also be taught not to put the minister in the place of God. Amen. Yeah, because how many times have I apologized? So don't ever assume that, you know, because none of us, you know, and I'm always say this too, the student is supposed to supersede the pastor eventually. You know, I get to the age where I'm going to start slowing down, and that's not why I'm taking Sundays off. It's just because the stress thing. I've been, you know, there's been some signs that I'm in danger in some areas, and so I'm kicking back a little bit. It's not because I'm old. You know, I can still, I want to do so much more. But we have plenty of people in this church family that can literally step up and take over. Hopefully. So she goes on to say, that's a good point too, what Matthias just put in the room too. What I like to, like I've done it on the street too, is, and I picked this up for another preacher that I heard on the street. Hey, isn't it getting old? Because that clicked in my mind. I was standing in the living room one day of this one guy that I used to hang with. He was the baddest biker without a bike. That's how we coined him. He always wanted to be a biker, but he never had two nickels or whatever together, so he never had a bike. And I'm standing in the living room, and here it is, you know, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday, and it was like I partied every night. And all of a sudden one day it just got old. And so when that preacher said that one day, I says, yeah, it really does get old. All of a sudden you get to a point where, yeah, I need a change in my life. This is just stupid. It's like you're running stagnant. And asking people if they are sick and tired of being sick and tired, of being lied to, or is it just getting old from the lifestyle that you're doing, and or just going through the motions and pretending to be a Christian? But I also want to praise God in regards to the sermon he's given me in regards to the truth. If we can, and I'm trying to word this, and it literally flowed out of me the other day in about 20 minutes, and to where I'd say 75% of the notes are done, and it just flowed out. And that's what I could tell when he's really serious about these sermons. But I want to take my time in presenting it, because I want to make a video about this one to put it out there, because there are so many lies. I mentioned this in the prayer earlier. Satan has gotten this world so used to trusting lies. Oh, you got cancer. You're guaranteed to die. You can't get healed from that. Or AIDS. AIDS. Okay, cancer's been turning around lately, but AIDS, you can't. Yeah, well, you know, people have been getting healed of AIDS, but they never mention it. I mean, you know what I mean. Some of the things out there that people say that people believe it because everybody else believes it. Or, you know, your prayers never get answered. And everybody believes it because none of their prayers get answered. Or Hollywood. You know, the lies, I mean, the fiction. It's all lies. They're so used to being in that kind of, well, they're so used to that kind of entertainment. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I remember the bumper sticker one time. I had a laugh out loud when I was driving down the road. It says, Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. Whoops. Didn't Jesus says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect? So that bumper sticker just said Jesus Christ lied. They're so used to the lies. And so when someone like us comes walking up with truth that shows all those lies that they believed for their entire lives, they look at you like some kind of conspiracy nut. Oh, it can't be that bad. It can't be that. Well, you know, have you ever read a Bible? How much control Satan's going to have when it gets close to the end? Literally everybody's going to be involved in his agenda and they're not going to know it. Then yeah, the lies are going to be part. It's just, that's why the prophecy about, you know, good is evil and evil is good is going to be. I mean, it's hard to believe when you, like, remember the first time I read that prophecy about, you know, good being evil and evil becoming good. I thought, okay, yeah, I could see that with some of the people that I hang with because they're witches, right? When I was a teenager. But when I heard about it, like at church or something, or some preacher told it to me. But now it's like, oh, that's today's society. Anything that has to do with Christianity is now considered a problem in this nation, but anything that Christianity says is sinful, like homosexuality or polygamy or pedophilia or alcohol or cigarettes, all this stuff is legal and perfectly acceptable. And if you speak out against it, you know, you're a radical Christian. See, that's where they mess up, though. They call a radical Christian, they call a Christian that is obedient to God radical. But yet, they'll also call a Muslim that's obedient to Rome radical. And they don't catch that. We're called radical because we're obedient to God. They're called radical because they're obedient to Rome. They don't even catch that, what they just did there. Anyway, she goes on to say, the greatest help that can be given our people is to teach them to work for God and to depend on Him, not on the ministers. Let them learn to work as Christ worked. Let them join his army of workers and do faithful service to him. Kind of like Jethro walking up to Moses and say, hey, you're going to kill yourself. And so let the people start doing, you know, because one man can't do it. That, you know how easily, you know, a church will just die off? Especially if that preacher ends up dying or ends up in a jail cell. She says, let the teachers lead the way in working among the people and others, uniting with them. We'll learn from their example. One example is worth more than many precepts. Those who have spiritual oversight of the church should devise ways and means by which an opportunity may be given to every member of the church to act some part in God's work. This is why we do what we do with the tracts, and the pamphlets, and the DVDs, and the bus benches, and stuff like that. She says, this has not always, or even just going into the chat rooms. I don't know if you noticed, but one of the workers that we have in the Philippines, if they have good internet, which is a rarity out there, one of the workers' duties is to all day long just go into chat rooms or leave comments in YouTube videos or on Facebook about the truth as we understand it, and then link out Remnant of God and SDR Ministries. You know, that's their duty. That's how I see. I was my own SEO. You know, when I first started out, I didn't need search engine optimization. I just went out there and I went into every chat room I could find, and I was just leaving. I mean, some people would call me a troll, but you know, at the same time, I was answering questions. I wasn't just coming in and leaving an advertisement and walking out. I would have a back and forth. See, that way, the word of mouth thing works better. You just go in there and troll it. Yeah, people are just going to delete you and ignore you. Says, yeah, he doesn't even want to talk about it, which means he can't prove it. Oh, man, give me a mic. You know, and that used to get them upset. I'd lose the mic, but, eh, well, I go into the next room. You know, you shake the dust of your feet, just like the apostles had to do. They kick you out of a chat room, you go to the next. Shake the dust of the feet. So she says, this has not always been done in the past. Plans have not been fully carried out whereby the talent of all might be employed in active service. There are but few who realize how much has been lost because of this. In every church there is talent, which, with the right kind of labor, might be developed to become a great help in this work. And I've been saying that for years, because some of you think, oh, I can't do nothing. Oh, then why are you breathing? Seriously. You think God made a mistake? Don't sell yourself short. There's a reason you're here, and there's something that you can do that none of us can do like you can do it. You just got to, you know, get obedient as you can, of course, and then the Lord will leave eventually. Because a lot of people, I don't know how many times, and it still happens to this day. What do you think I should do for the Lord? I can't answer that. Only you and the Lord can answer that, because you know how he created you. You know what makes you happy. Do you like to do this? Do you like to do that? What is your talents? What is it you like to do hobbies with? Whatever. You know, what is it you enjoy doing? What is it you know for a fact you're good at? Well, I'd start there. She goes on. There should be a well-organized plan for the employment of workers to go into all churches, all our churches, large and small, to instruct the members how to labor for the upbuilding of the church, and also for unbelievers. It is training, education, that is needed. Let all set their hearts and minds to become intelligent in regard to the work for this time, qualifying themselves to do that for which they are best adapted. And this is another reason I praise the Lord for the website, because I can be snoring away, and someone can come to the website and learn how to do some of the stuff that we have done in the past, because it's outlined on the website somewhere. Or we'll make statements, or I'll make statements on the website. Because we do have audios and stuff like that from some of us in our little gatherings, and especially on Testimony Sabbath. Those are all online. Anybody can listen. So she goes on to say that which is needed now for the upbuilding of our churches is the nice work of wise laborers to discern and develop talent in the church, talent that can be educated for the master's service. Those who shall labor in visiting the churches should give the brethren and sisters instruction and practical methods of doing missionary work. You know, I got a feeling, I'd rather say a discernment, that there's... I'm thinking there's going to be the only problem is Indiana is a big state. I've been noticing an awful lot of people that have been looking for a church, because I still get the emails from people looking for a church. And we kind of dropped the ball on that one since, you know, one of the brothers that we trusted left our number. But a lot of people from Indiana have been wondering, and I'm thinking, boy, if we did a camp meeting for just the people in Indiana, we'd have a lot of people there. And now nobody knows most of them. Some of them are, you know, join us on a regular basis, but there's a lot of people out there. And if anybody wants to try to contact these, you know, the Needs Church people, I tell you, we've got, they're all listed on the database on the server. I just got to hand it off to somebody. If somebody wants to do it, just let me know. You know, make a phone call. Or if it's not in your state, send it to somebody that can make that phone call. You know, I don't have time to keep trying to figure out. I mean, I know where the core of the people live. And I would send an email, you know, to some of you. You know what I mean when I'm talking about the core. But let you know, if this person's in your neighborhood. I used to do that I've always done it that way. Anyway, let there be a class for the training of the youth as well. Young men and women should be educated to become workers at home, in their own neighborhoods, and in the church. Now, we also have to keep in mind, she's talking in in a way of like a brick and mortar church. And so a lot of the stuff that she's mentioning isn't going to be that easy to do when we're thousands of miles apart. And so that's another reason why I want to come up with a better chat room where, you know, like a meeting kind of a room, where we're not based on someone else's server, because that'll be dangerous. But even if we have to go that route, that's fine. If we end up putting the chat room on a different server, well, then I'm going to dump the T1 here. I'm just going to get rid of it. There's no sense in me, you know, shelling out $500 a month for something that I'm not going to use except for my own surfing. I'll just go with DSL or something. I'm not going to waste money on that. So anyway, she says, heavenly angels have long been waiting for human agents, the members of the church, to cooperate with them in the great work to be done. They are waiting for you. See, this is one of the reasons we're still sitting here, you know. We want to go home. So she says, so vast is the field, so comprehensive the design, that every sanctified heart will be pressed into service as an instrument of divine power. And you'd be amazed how fulfilling it is to work for him. I mean, I did it for 17 years before I left my 9-to-5. I mean, I couldn't wait to get off work to do some work, if you know what I mean. I mean, Fran could tell you, or even the kids. I come home from work and boom, right in my office, shut the door and start working on the site because of the distractions of the family. And I kind of, you know, regret that to some extent because I spent a little bit too much time doing it and not enough time with the kids. But at the same time, yeah, I would get out and goof around with the kids as much as I could because, you know, I like kids. That's why we got so many. But she says, if Christians were to act in concert, moving forward as one, under the direction of one power, capital P, for the accomplishment of one purpose, they would move the world. This kind of reminds me of an email that Pastor Craig sent me yesterday or the day before. Check this out. And this is from Testimonies, Volume 7, page 21. It says, the formation of small companies as a basis of Christian effort have been presented to me by one, capital O, who cannot err. If there is a large number in the church, let the members be formed into small companies to work not only for the church members, but for unbelievers. Kind of echoes what we were talking about, right? Little satellite sections just spin off. We could just use the Sabbath gathering as a time to, you know, put our heads together too, as well as to praise the Lord and worship. If in one place there are only two or three who know the truth, let them form themselves into a band of workers. So you don't have to be 20 or 30 is what she's saying. Two or three. That's all you need. Let them keep their bond of union unbroken, pressing together in love and unity, encouraging one another to advance, each gaining courage and strength from the assistance of the others. You know, like the 72 that were sent out, you know, two by two. Let them reveal Christ-like forbearance and patience, speaking no hasty words, using the talent of speech to build one another up in the most holy faith. Let them labor in Christ-like love for those outside the fold, forgetting self in their endeavors to help others. As they work and pray in Christ's name, their numbers will increase. For the Savior says, if two or three, or if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That's Matthew 18:19. But again, it's Volume 7, Testimonies, page 21, paragraph 4. And he sent another one the other day, too. This other one here, I think it was the Seventh-day Adventists don't want to hear this. Well, I'm not going to read it now, but there's one that you know, the Seventh-day Adventists are not going to like, because they're in a heap of trouble when they hear what their own leaders are saying, or well, in this case, the prophet. But Christ Object Lessons, page 190, paragraph 2, and this may be hard for some to hear, but see, like on Wednesday nights and Friday nights, the majority of us that are in here, you know, are pretty much serious about our walks. And I'm not saying the people on Sabbath that come in with the bigger numbers aren't. It's just that their time frame is different. But not everybody's doing the work as they should. But it says, when one who has wandered far in sin seeks to return to God, he will encounter criticism and distrust. There are those who will doubt whether his repentance is genuine, or will whisper He has no stability. I do not believe that he will hold out. These persons are doing not the work of God, but the work of Satan, who is the accuser of brethren. Through their criticisms, the wicked one hopes to discourage the soul and to drive him to still farther from hope and from God. Okay, this isn't the one I was looking for. So, there was one that was talking about the workers. Okay, here it is. CHS and then CEV, whatever that is. CHS, page 154, says, I saw that the work of present truth should engage the interest of all. The publication of truth is God's ordained plan as a means of warning, comforting, reproving, exhorting, or convicting all to whose notice the silent, okay, that seems, grammar's off, voiceless messengers may be brought, in like tracts, right, or even the newsletters. And I praise God the newsletter's been going out every single solitary month. Thank you all for those of you that are helping us do it, because it never had that kind of consistency before. You know, there was always people that did it great, and all of a sudden, boink, they left our number because the devil didn't like that newsletter getting out there. But now we've got more than one family working on it. That way it'll continue. And then this next one is the CEV 179, paragraph 79, or page 79. It says, golden opportunities occur almost daily where the silent messengers of truth might be introduced into families and to individuals, but no advantage is taken of these opportunities by the indolent, thoughtless ones. Living preachers are few. There is only one where they should be 100. And, of course, the silent messengers are the tracks that she's talking that fall like the leaves of autumn. You know, because some people, yeah, I understand the shrinking violet or the shy type, and that's how I, okay, fine. A lot of people say, oh, Nick, you're never shy. Yeah, I was, yeah, when I was a kid. But when I first came into Christ, I was very guarded on how I shared my faith, because I saw my brother-in-law doing it, and it turned everybody off. They started calling him Jesus freak and making the sign of the cross whenever he came in the room, just to insult him and bother him. And I thought, that just doesn't work. How am I going to do this? Because I want to share it even more than he was sharing it. And so it was very difficult. And so I says, okay, I'm just going to write tracks. Because I tried, like I said earlier, I tried talking to them, and I noticed that some of them were just drifting away when I had their ear. And then you got some people that are just playing on the street that you don't know from Adam. And, you know, they would drift off too. But anyway, let's pick it up next week right here. Page 69, 69, paragraph, the last paragraph on the page. So, but please keep it in prayer. There are some people in the church family that can do the work. And even if it just is to pass out a track or hand someone a DVD or something like that, anything like that, please, please, please pray for them. So, if you can kneel, why don't we pray now? Oh, man, it's already dark out. It's only 9:30 and it's dark. I know that sounds odd. Anyway, please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence tonight. Thank you for bridling my tongue and all the tongues that we're sharing earlier and in the text chat and all that. Thank you so much for blessing us the way you constantly do. And thank you for giving us new ideas on how to spread the truth out. And the ideas that we're using now, please bless them and make them multiply by the thousands. Like Sister White says, there's only one out there when there should be 100. And so, Father, we need more people to go out and spread the truth. And so please open the floodgates and just let the workers come in and bless this work, because some of us aren't going to be here forever, you know, and we got to have people to step up and take the place of others. And so please bless the church family, as your son's bride and as individuals, and bless those that receive the tracts, and especially those that hand the tracts, because there's some people that are a little shy, and you know, it's easier to hand a track without saying anything, and so let them have that opportunity, because eventually they might start saying, and they don't have to, but they could. And so please bless us, Father. And most of all, please forgive us, because we do fall short an awful lot. We are sinners saved by grace, and so please forgive us and bless us and cleanse us so that we can be worthy of the latter rain. And bless everyone on our prayer list, especially those that were mentioned earlier. And please accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.